Minister, earlier this week you were speaking with representatives of the Philippine government and trying to get their assessment of what's happening.
That's correct, Brian. I think what you acknowledged earlier on in the introduction to this is so true. I mean, the scale of devastation that's taken place within the Philippines is absolutely vast. They only recently endured an earthquake and now they're having to deal with another disaster of vast proportions. What has happened is that on Wednesday of this week, 100 tons of material, of emergency cover, of material to allow people to drink, to make it safer for them to eat. All of that was put in place in Cebu, in the city from which your colleague is, and was all funded by the Irish taxpayer in an effort to support these people. And then alongside that, up to this point, the government has now supported €1.4 million worth of investment and a contribution to the Philippines and the people very, very quickly to fund relief on the ground, to allow these people to deal with the calamity that they're grappling with.
Okay, Paul, I think we've managed to make contact with you. Can you tell us what it's like on the ground out there at the moment?
Well, Brian, we visited the town of Iloilo this morning on Panay Island, and there's lots of people helping out there. There's the towns are not too badly affected, but in the rural areas, it's completely destroyed. There's pylons down, roads blocked, houses flattened, and a man we spoke to said it was like a zombie town, a bit like a war zone. Now, the aid is starting to flow in. For about a week, there was parts left without anything at all, and some of the more remote islands, people are reported to have been eating just coconuts and coconut oil. So some people in some of the worst affected areas are still trying to flee. They're trying to get back to the cities, but aid is starting to make its way through. We can see local people putting together packages of aid and helping out, but logistically it's still very, very difficult to get around. There's reports in some places journeys by road that normally take about 2 hours are taking up to 9 hours, and that's been something similar to our experience as we've travelled around.
And presumably, Paul, at this point, the biggest demands are probably for food, water and shelter.
Yeah, of course, and we can see the aid agencies getting to work on that, and the government here as well, building some tented villages and getting the water and the food through. And I think largely in most places now, the immediate concerns have been addressed, that most people have water, most people are getting shelter who need it and a little bit of help. And thoughts are turning to more long-term problems, I suppose, like disease prevention. Obviously, when you get a disaster like this, these things need to be addressed. So things like detergent, soap, water containers and toothpaste, simple things like that, water purification tablets are being handed out. And also people are looking ahead to things like education. Children, their schools have been ripped apart. They're far away from home. So, how is that going to be looked after long term? And livelihoods as well. A lot of people in some of the more rural areas work as fishermen and farmers, and crops have been completely destroyed, which may take a year or 2 years to replant. So the immediate concerns, obviously, over the next month or two are going to be huge. But further down the road, the Philippines is going to need a lot of help.
And Paul, where are you intending to go to next in terms of looking and trying to assess and looking at the scale of the devastation in the Philippines?
We're in the city of Cebu at the moment, and tomorrow morning we're travelling to Tacloban in Leyte province, which has been the scene of probably some of the worst scenes. So we've yet to reach that island. It's quite difficult to get in and out. So tomorrow we're travelling there, and there's obviously lots of reports of still getting to grips with the disaster there. They had, of course, the storm surge, which didn't happen everywhere, and massive scales of flooding. So that's where we're heading tomorrow, and we will have full reports on the 6 and 9 o'clock news from there tonight and tomorrow again, and throughout the day on RTE.
Okay, Paul, thanks very much for joining us from the Philippines, and we look forward to your reports on the 6-1 news this evening when you'll be reporting from there. Minister Donoghue, there does seem to have been in the initial phase of this a sense that the international community didn't quite react as quickly as it perhaps could have.
Well, the difficulty that takes place when you're dealing with such a humanitarian disaster sometimes isn't the lack of aid, it's the need to coordinate it. And I think some of the difficulty on the ground that we've seen reflects that. The other challenge, of course, then would be, after this has happened, what funds need to be put in place to develop the Philippines and those regions again and help those poor people get back on their feet.
OK, well, that's our lot for today. Thank you for listening, and thanks to all our guests for joining us. We'll be back at the same time next Saturday. I hope you can join us then. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your weekend.